Genesis, the first chapter, and actually other associated scriptures, because God's creation is through the entire Bible. It's just not in one spot and maybe here and there, but it's all the way through. The teaching of God's work is an amazing thing. Unique. What else makes logical sense of? So how did we all get here? Life. As a matter of fact, in our Sunday school class, the one class we have going through John's Gospel, we looked at the principle of the Sabbath, the seventh day, and even back in Exodus 20, where the commandment is given about the seventh day and resting and all that, even there, it's referred to for in 6 days God made the heaven and the earth. And as a matter of fact, when you read the final book of the Bible, Revelation, and I just finished it off on my own personal reading, so I'll start back in Genesis for myself now, it is to the Lord God, who not just was and is to come, but it's also praise to him for, you created all things, and for your pleasure they were created. So even at the very end, refers to the very beginning, all the way through. So it's not just scattered here and there, it's all the way through. Scripture is consistent. So I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 1. We are actually going to move ahead this morning. Starting at verse 6, down through verse 13. Verse 6, Genesis 1. God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and it divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. First time that phrase is used. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth the grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Such simple language, such incredible truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, that we have the privilege of being able to have it in our possession, in our homes here, to be able to look to online, on our phones, you name it. Lord, what a privileged people we are when there's places around the world that people would love to have access to the Word of God that we have. So, Lord, we pray. And there's areas where, especially in Muslim countries where there's Christians, we pray for them, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for your protection of them, for courage, for whatever is necessary, even physical life itself. Lord, I don't know how I'd do, how would we do if we had to face what some of our brothers and sisters around the world are facing because of their faith in Christ. So Lord, we pray for them. Pray your mercy to them. Lord, for where your word is going forth around the world, where Christians can gather for strength, for the outflowing of your word that others may hear and know about Jesus. For Lord, you are calling people to yourself. And we thank you for that. Lord, for our lives, for the things you're doing, thank you. The things we are aware of, at times of needs where you come to our help, and Lord, for the things that we are not aware of, but you're at work, we thank you for that. We do pray for the Morrises. Pray again for your mercy to them. And to Bill's sister, just your help, please. And Lord, many other needs that are there, some shared and some that are not. Mercies, physical help, healings, whatever is necessary, Lord. Thank you that you're the one who knows, that you are able, and that you care. And that we can cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. That's amazing in itself. Thank you, Lord. So again, Father, for the work of your Spirit, as we come to your word, speak to my heart, speak to our hearts here. Help us to listen, to understand, and Lord, to realize this is not just for back then, but the same God who is strong and mighty and creative is the same today. Help us, Lord, please, to trust you and your wisdom in our lives. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the day of Martin Luther, which would be, what, is it the 15 or 1700s? I'll always get that mixed up. 1500s? 1750. Well, Martin Luther lived a long time ago, and not in a galaxy far, far away, on our earth, and he was a great man of God, Reformation. But in his day, there were scholars who believed just the opposite of evolution, that God created everything in one day or instantaneously. I know I've referred to the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis, and he gives the creation of Narnia, and it says they're in 7 hours. But they, in Martin Luther's day, some one day or even instantaneous. God just spoke, done. Spoke next, done. You know, not to waste time. Wait, he just created time. How could he waste it? God never wastes time. Anyways, they thought that. So Martin Luther said, in regard to that, when Moses writes that God created heaven and earth and whatever is in them in 6 days, then let the period continue to have been 6 days. And do not venture to devise any comment according to which 6 days were one day. But if you cannot understand, here's what, if you cannot understand how this could have been done in 6 days, then grant the Holy Spirit the honor of being more learned than you are, or being wiser than us. Grant the Holy Spirit the honor of that. I thought that's good. For you are to deal with Scripture in such a way that you bear in mind that God himself says what is written. But since God is speaking, it is not fitting for you wantonly to turn his word in the direction you wish to go. In other words, you can't manipulate his word. Don't make it say what you think it ought to say. And again, I wish there would be scholars, I referred to a bunch of them last week, who've written Bible commentaries, men of God who know more about the Bible than I do, studied it for many years longer, who say when it comes to Genesis that the Bible, as far as creation, doesn't actually mean what it says. And because science says that it took a long time, therefore we have to fit Genesis 1 into a long time. And these are guys that write entire Bible commentaries. And I just think, wait a second. Well, I did that last week. I went on that soapbox. So now, we face this section, day 2, and we'll probably get into maybe day 3, but especially day 2, and the start of day 3. Getting ready for company. So what does it take in your house to get ready for company? A week's notice? 2 weeks? Oh, we got it. It's cooking. It's cleaning. It's doing all kinds of things. You know, it's hiding everything you don't want to be seen. And if all else fails, don't let them go into the basement. Whatever you do. Right? Just keep this one level good and don't let them go upstairs. But wait, we're told to be hospitable in 1 Peter chapter 4. Offer hospitality. You know, it's a good way of sharing the gospel, sharing our lives with others, even if they'll never come to Christ. Jesus helped people of all kinds that took him and left him. Hospitable. And it's like, well, why are we supposed to be hospitable? Well, because God wants us to, that's right. But how about from the idea he wants us to, because God is hospitable. And what he's doing is he is preparing the world for company, for mankind. He's getting everything set for mankind. And we'll see that more and more. And again, I like nature, I like science, the honest stuff. And in the technology of what we have now, they're finding out more things than they'd have ever in times past. Things that would have blown Darwin out of the water. People used to think that the eye was common. I understand, if I remember rightly, and I don't trust my memory much these days, but even Darwin had a problem with the eye. If they could figure out the eye properly, it might undo all of evolution. Well, which they have, because the eye cannot come the way it is by accident. But I'm getting ahead. Anyways, company, because God is hospitable. So in day 1, I have no idea what's up there except for the First Baptist Church. Sorry. It's good. We'll just have the First Baptist Church. Oh, you got a nice star cluster or something like that up there. Handy. Do you have any stars up your sleeve, Dave? Pictures of, sorry. So we've seen day 1, time, earth, space, water, energy, light, movement, rotation, day and night, all those things, day 1. It's first, God says light day, darkness night. Evening and morning, already there's a sense of rotation and movement, for there's energy. And there's light before there's the sun, moon, and stars. Because last week, remember, look it up. Sonoluminescence. And you will see how gas bubbles in water, under intense vibration, think of your ultrasonic toothbrush, under intense vibration, create light. So we're not to the sun, moon, and stars. So how can there be light without sun, moon, and stars? Think of the firefly. Fireflies. How many here have ever seen fireflies? In the raw. Okay, yeah. I remember them, but as a kid from Kansas. Yeah, I know. Raw fireflies, is there such a thing? But as a kid in Kansas, like, oh, fireflies. Well, they don't have the sun and moon and the stars. They make their own light in a chemical way. So why can't God say, let there be sound into water, light, luminescence, sonoluminescence, sound creating light out of water. Anyways, so there was all of that. And then we come to verse 6. day two. Firmament. Firmament sounds firm to me. Well, W.E. Vine, respected scholar, Old Testament and New Testament, language scholar, expository dictionary, while the English word is derived from Latin, firmamentum, and don't say that fast five times, firmamentum, which signifies firm or strong, the Hebrew word rakia has nothing to do with that. That's why in some translations of the Bible, and there's a Q in there, rakia, English transliteration, is expanse. Expanse. Not firm. So, but they took it because the Latin had a Latin translation of a copy and turned into firmament, which is hard to say in itself. One fellow in on the online Apologetics Press, at least he gives the verses to this, and it's correct. The heavens, firmamentum, because if you say verse 8, and God called the firmament, in case you're wondering what he's going to call it, heaven. There's generally three heavens. This is heaven singular, but heavens is a plural word, plural. And there are three. And look, it's correct. Heavens is plural in Hebrew. It refers to what is above or height or lofty, heaven. So there's the atmospheric heaven. Jeremiah 4:25 refers to the birds of the heavens. You see the birds, atmospheric. There's a sidereal heavens, which is basically outer space. Isaiah 13:10, he's talking about the day of the Lord, and he's talking about the stars of heaven and their constellations. Constellations referred to in the Bible. So heaven. But then there's also the heaven where God dwells. So in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, and Christ entered into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God. Hebrews 9, 24. And so you can have firmament in this context as well, too. Genesis 1, 20. The birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. There's the phrase, together. Firmament. Birds fly. So you have, where do birds fly? Atmosphere, sky, clouds, all those things. And then you have the sun, moon, and stars. Genesis 1, 16, 17, we'll get there. The sun, moon, stars, and set them in the firmament of the heavens. There it is again, being used together. The expanse. And so, obviously, he's not talking about where the birds fly anymore. He's going out further. Sun, moon, stars, heavens, space. But then also, the psalmist in Psalm 151 spoke of God's sanctuary as being associated with the firmament. And Psalm 68:33, it says, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens. Isn't that great? Psalm 68:33, the heaven of heavens. So it's like, okay, the heaven where God is. So you have those three types of usages of it. So, the expanse. God made, let there be an expanse, and made the expanse. He didn't have to create it. He made it. That's the difference, create and made. So the expanse. A Jewish writer, commentator, Casuto, says, from what the language of here, we may infer that immediately after its formation, the firmament, the expanse, occupied its own place by the will of God, which is in the sight of the heavens as we know it. Thus, he says, as soon as the firmament was established in the midst of the water, dividing the waters, verse 7, verse 6, in the midst of the water, he puts it this way, an expanse in the midst of the water, and the water above began to rise. There's an expanse now. There was water, and then he said, let's have a firmament, an expanse, in the midst of the water, dividing the waters. Again, simple language, divide means to separate. In the midst means in the middle. An expanse, so the water separates, and it rises because there's water under the heavens, and there's now water above the heavens, and the water under the heavens, we will see earth. And so you have this expansion, and you have the waters above and the waters under. And Kasuda says, in its course, it expands like a vault. In the course of its upward expansion, it lifted at the same time the upper waters resting on top. It took them right up. And he writes, the universe is beginning to take shape. Kasuto. And what's interesting is when you get into the ancient cultures who had their creation stories. I mean, everything from a Hindu, which they started with a cosmic egg. Okay, now the question is not where'd they get the egg, because that's where they started with. And then in Scandinavia, the Norse Vikings, creation started with emptiness with wind and water. Notice what's similar. Scandinavia, the Omaha tribe, Native American Indian, Omaha tribes, had a creation where it was the earth covered with water. So we're going from Scandinavia to India. The Incas' creation story started with darkness and water. Do I detect a pattern here? The Incas. One creation story from Japan has to do with the start of an oily sea. Oily sea. So you would almost say glistening water. Polynesian creation, an endless sea. But let's go back to some old ones. Egyptian, a creation story that everything, the world emerged from an endless ocean or sea. The world came out. Or let's go back to the time of Babylonia culture. So now we're going back into historical biblical times. Babylon. Okay, this is interesting. There were two beings, one made of fresh water, one of salt water. And these two beings had children. And some of the children became gods, small g, and some of the children became monsters. And it's salt water who wanted control of everything, salt water. But one of the children decided this is no good and cut salt water in half. And the upper half of salt water, from there was created heaven, and from the lower half of salt water was created earth. Did I read something about like that in the Bible? But that's Babylon. And so the question for anthropologists would be, how come you can have cultures all around the world that have ancient creation stories which have to do with darkness and water and lots of it? Because, well, then the Bible, therefore, is just like all the rest. Right. No. Not. So it's interesting. I call it, and it would say in Romans, for those who deny the Creator and worship creation, what they end up with is having a good imagination. So they have bits and pieces of the story that's been passed to them, but in time, let's change it. And so you have the imagination of man amok. But yet there's bits and pieces of elements in there coming from water. So there's water of which the earth is going to come out of, and there's water above. Dr. Henry Morris, highly respected, he was the chairman of the civil engineering department of Virginia Polytech Institute and State University. So he was the chairman of it. He's also a very strong Christian, who said of this water above, on the second day, God separated the one deep of waters. Verse 2 of the deep, the waters, into two with a great space. The waters below were the oceans. The water above had been apparently, he says, transformed into a vapor that could rise in order to be separated. And then from there, he postulates that with the water above, actually quite a bit of it, you had a number of things happen, but two main things. One, it was a vapor canopy around the earth. It was called the greenhouse effect, because light can go through it, since it's just water vapor, but it protects against radiation, it protects against cold, it also reflects heat back in. Massive greenhouse, which is why you can have, you know, I know there are jungles with plants, leaves that are like so big these days, but in fossils, you have plant leaves that they figure that were big, big plants. And also, it would be a possibility, and he says it's not certain, we're not certain on this, it's still being researched, but it's possible that in the time of Noah's flood, part of the water that rained on the earth, 40 days, 40 nights, was part of that over water canopy. Do you know, in 1 cubic inch of just air, ordinary air, there are, what is it? 1,000 little wood block, 1,000 water molecules. 1,000. Now, except in Arizona in the summer, where there's 17. But ordinarily, it's 1,000. Now, it takes 100 molecules together to equal the thickness of a human hair. But you can see if you, moisture, that there's water, 100, 1,000 in a cubic inch block. Water in the atmosphere. So he'd say it would be above the earth, and it could have been. Now, I looked into this further because I've sort of bought into that for a long time, and it very well could have been. But what about the water that's out there? Was there any water further out there? I was going to have a snowball. I figured this could be the first time I could get away with bringing a snowball into church. But it just sort of went. And it's too hard now. Do you know what comets generally are made of? Comets. And we're not talking your grandfather's 64 model. You know what comets are made out of? Water, ice. They are dirty ice balls, basically. As a matter of fact, they came across a report where they were tracking one, and it went behind the sun, and with the computer's technology, it tracked it, and it's like, it never came out. So they figured it was the consistency of a loosely packed snowball that was just out in space. That's what a comet is. It's a piece of dirty ice. And even asteroids are generally rock and ice, asteroids. So it's like, wait a second, that's from out there, and there are comets going on all the time. Well, they don't know where they come from. They don't know where they've come from so much that they have created what is called Oort's cloud. That's somewhere out there. O-O-R-T. You can look it up. Oort's cloud. And they say the comets are being fashioned and made in Oort's cloud, and every so often, one of them gets out of the cloud and comes into our solar system. I mean, it gets wilder all the time, folks. The stuff that, however, there's a big problem, because even with all their radio telescopy, all that kind of stuff, nobody has ever seen any evidence for Oort's cloud. So whoever Mr. Oort was, he came up with an idea, because they had to have some kind of idea as to where are all these comets coming from, since Ford is no longer making them. Or was it Mercury? I forget. Oort's cloud? Like I said, oh my goodness. The Word of God, you know, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Because they're making up something that has never been detected to try to have an idea as to where they're coming from. Now, what if there's, since they're mainly ice, dirty ice balls, what if there's water out there, further out? What if in the separation, there was water that just continued in vapor to go, and it's still out there? Because in Psalm 148, verse 4, it refers to water that is above the heavens. Waters above the heavens. Well, hey, that looks wet. Do we? We don't have a quasar handy, do we? Anything like that? Okay, quasar, massive galaxy, spinning top with poles coming out from black holes in the center, massive. And in one of those, they have determined they have found a cloud of water vapor. The largest and farthest reservoir of water ever detected. And a quasar light that is coming out from the supermassive black hole is being bent as it passes through water vapor that they estimate are some, what was it? Some 140 trillion times the size, the amount of water that's on our Earth. 140 trillion times as much. Humongous. Out there, and it was a surprise to them, because the better technology, the further away they can see, and they discovered, oh, look at this. This galaxy, this cluster of black holes. What is bending the light out of there? Look into it further. It looks like it's water vapor. Amazing. And so the water above. So maybe there was more that just kept going. Because the problem is what we don't know. In Genesis 1, verse 2, the water, we don't know the amount. That's our problem. We just don't know the amount to start with. But we do know that there's water and that it's there and that we have water on the earth. Firmament, heaven, waters above, waters below, it was so. And God called it heaven, the expanse. The second day, verse 8. Now, I called attention to verse 10. I'll just make note of it now, because it's the first time it's used. And God said, saw that it was good, right? But he never saw anything, commented about anything being good before that. It's the first time, isn't it? It's good. Now, why would that be? Because he's finished this part of it. It's good. It's just right. But until then, before then, he wasn't done yet with what he wanted to do. So it's like, it's good, but I'm not finished yet. And then it's like, at this point, oh, that's good. He saw it was good. So he's working to that point. So the firmament, evening, morning, second day, not, verse 9, the waters under, gathered together. So again, in this simple but straightforward language, you have the water gathering together. And the dry land, earth, earth from a word having to do with firm, and the waters, seas. Now you think, okay, sea, ocean, whatever. But the primary meaning or an essential meaning of sea has to do with noisy. Noisy? Well, wait a second. Verse 9. And so let the waters under the heaven be gathered together, and let the dry land appear. And the water being gathered together, and the dry land appearing. Earth, seas, but seas is noisy. Go down to the beach of the ocean. What do you hear? Moving water. Go to a creek. Or is it a creek? I forget. Or a stream. What do you hear? The sound of moving water. Let the waters be gathered together and let dry earth appear. So if dry earth appears and the waters are being moving to their place, it's like me and you. You're standing somewhere. Somebody comes along, pushes you over. You go, hey, what? Hey. You make noise. Well, maybe not. But moving water makes noise. Seas, noisy. Seas. Moving water. Run your tap this afternoon. Hear the sound of moving water. Seas. And then you have dry. And it is a general consensus among those who, even in evolutionary terms, that the earth, dirt land, was once one continent. They call it a supercontinent. And it was centered up about the, down around the South Pole. Pangaea, who thinks of those names? A supercontinent, because here, the waters had gathered or collected into one place, and the dry, and if your land in your Bible looks like it's in italicized, it's because in the Hebrew it's just let the dry appear. Let what's firm, dry, appear. Land. But there's no land there. That which is dry. And appear is to be seen because it wasn't seen before. And in case we don't know what the dry is, he calls it earth to be firm, and the waters, large bodies, are noise. So real quickly, what's the dirt on dirt? Because remember, God is preparing the world for the likes of you and me. And so being a good host, he's making everything ready in advance. What's the dirt on dirt? Well, dirt is not as common as you think. By volume or weight, dirt is, well, and ingredients, oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, sodium, chlorine, magnesium, silicon, iron, fluorine, copper, zinc, aluminum, manganese, iodine, selenium, molybdenum, chromium, cobalt. No, I didn't just read the ingredients of your favorite multivitamin. Earth, dirt. It's mainly oxygen, silicon, iron, and aluminum. Those are the four main ingredients of dirt. And if you change the composition of any of those ever so slightly, then we'd have a lot more of Death Valley. A lot more. Because they're all there in perfect elements and ratios. All of those things. By the way, if you're thinking, oh yeah, well, the dirt I work with, it's not quite the same. It's estimated that on an acre of your typical farmland, I'm assuming this is where you can actually raise things, soil 6 inches deep has several tons of living bacteria, almost a ton of fungi, 200 pounds of one-cell protozoan little animals, about 100 pounds of yeast, and about 100 pounds of algae in that dirt out there on 1 acre of farmland. There's really very little that's common. But here, I'll just close with this. Since waters have been moved, let the dry appear. Water covers approximately 71% of our face of our planet. 71%. Dry, 29%. That's 100. Dry. The average height of the world is about 2,850 feet. 2,750 feet. The world's ocean, the ocean has an average depth, of over 12,000 feet deep. That's on average. So the next time you're playing on the little beach, remember that there's things out there that are way deeper than that. That's average. So it's been estimated if you took off all the dirt above the water and filled in all the low spots under the water, all the earth would have would be covered by about 8,000 feet of water. So see, God started with water. And then the water went to its places, and that which is dry appeared. But if he just took it back to the way it ought to be, 8,000 feet of water. Or, I understand it wasn't a very good movie, you never really watched it. Waterworld. Only it wouldn't be like in the movie because water by itself would not be enough to sustain life. 8,000 feet of water. And so let the dry appear and let water be moved to its place, be gathered together. God preparing for his people, for mankind to live. And then for those who know Christ, he would use the same kind of terminology later on. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, well, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14, first couple of verses. Prepare. So he's getting the whole universe ready for humankind. And then those who follow Jesus, he gets a place in heaven ready. It should be really good. Really good. If it's so really good, how come we're all eating really healthy food to live longer? No, I'm just kidding. It's an old joke. Because we want to have good lives for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you again for your word. And Lord, that it's always true. Always has been, always will be. No matter what man can come up with, what kind of imaginative stories that are told these days in the guise of science, quote unquote. Your word is still true. It still shows its truth every single time. And Lord, for those who follow Jesus, what a great place we have to look forward to. So Lord, I just thank you for that. Pray for anyone here who's not sure, because this life, we'll see this in Genesis, ends up being so short, incredibly short. Lord, help us to prepare for heaven as you are preparing heaven for those who follow you. And help anyone here, Lord, if they're not sure, to be sure that they're going there because of Jesus. Thank you. Pray in your precious name. Amen. So, something different here, which we can do quickly.